with Rav Dessler's Yesaidus and Bechira, we have a very fundamental chiddush, or an explanation that he gives, which could be a chiddush for us, but it's a tremendous yesaid in Bechira, and that is that even though there's always Bechira at a certain point, it's a sliding scale where that point is, and beyond the point, to the right or to the left, there is no Bechira. And this is his explanation by giving an example of a battlefront. When you have a war going on, you never have the war at exactly the same point all the time. What you have is shifting battlefronts. Why do you have shifting battlefronts? Because if the battle is won in a certain location, the enemy retreats, and chasing after the enemy, there comes a point where there's a new battlefront. And the land and the spoils that are gained by the conquering, by the victorious army, becomes now a chelik of that king's property and is a given in the war, and they don't have to fight about that anymore. Because that's fatal. That's already a given. That's finished. Where is the battle now? In the new location. Beyond the new location, within enemy territory, there's also no battle going on. Why not? Because that is, at least at this moment, still in the possession of the enemy 100%. So it comes out that the argument, the fight, the battle, this is going on in a specific place, which at that moment is up for grabs, which at that moment is the nekuda of contention. But before it and after it is not the nekuda of contention. What happens when they are again victorious? So again, that area is now no longer under contention because it belongs to the conquering enemy. And the new area creates a new battlefront, and that's where the fight is taking place. Says Rav Dessler, so it is exactly with Bechira. Now, his idea of what happens when there needs to be a choice, when the Bechira needs to kick in, his understanding is that the fight, the war, the battle, is between an emes that's real and an emes that's imagined. His idea, of course, that he expressed earlier, which we spoke about last time, is that the imagined emes is pure sheker. There really are no toots dudded. It isn't pshat that there's something to the other side. There's nothing to the other side. It's meduma. It's hevel. But it's a reality for the person that's struggling with it because he does not see it as total sheker. So the machlokes or the milchama that's going on inside of him is between the emes of Hashem, the emes of the Torah, the emes that's real, and the emes that's imagined, which is within the person, prodded by his taivas and by his previous hasagas. So he says, most of the maisim of a person are not an inyan of Bechira at that moment. A person does not get up in the morning and say, I don't know, should I put on tefillin or should I not put on tefillin? Should I put on my tzitzis or should I not put on my tzitzis? And then there's a battle royal going on inside of him. Should he do it or should he not do it? A person who is a confirmed Shomer Shabbos does not stand in front of the light switch and say, should I turn on the lights or should I not turn on the lights? And in fact, the remarkable thing is that even a person who's addicted to smoking, so you'll have many, many, many people who, when it comes Shabbos, no havamin of a cigarette. And it's not even a nisayon. And it's very fascinating. Such a person, the same person, might have a nisayon keeping the Rabbeinu Tam Zman. Because since there's a tzad to say that Shabbos is already over, and there's a whole swath of Klal Yisrael that keeps that earlier Zman, so suddenly the question comes, why do I have to be so frum? Why do I have to be so machmir? What's prodding that? The need desperately to have a cigarette. If there was a halacha that maybe it's a good idea not to smoke before the Havdalah, he would have a nisayon. Is it a halacha or is it a minute? You know, that kind of a thing. Lo yitzuyer, it was an hour before Tzeisak HaChavim. There's nothing going on inside of him. Hagam that he's addicted to cigarettes. So he could smoke 3 or 4 packs a day. Comes Shabbos, he does not smoke at all. What's the pshat? There's no milchama. The Bechira issue is no longer an issue. Why is there no milchama? Because it's ingrained in him from childbirth. Or if it came later as a Baal Tshuva, it becomes so central in his Havana of who he is and what he must do and how critical Shmirah Shabbos is. You know, the Chofetz Chaim had a famous mashal. He says, you go to a store and the store is locked. So sometimes there's a sign that says, I'll be back in 30 minutes. But let's say there is no sign. It looks at the store. It's not shuttered. It's not dark. And the sign on the top, fruit store, has not been taken off. So he knows that whatever's going on, it's only temporary. But when he sees that the sign is missing, then he knows the store is no longer. A person is called a Shomer Shabbos. It's called a Shomer Shabbos. It's not called a Maniach Tefillin. It's not called an Eichel Kashrus. It's called a Shomer Shabbos. That's the sign on the door. Because Shabbos is the machria whether the store is open, but he can be doing certain things that are not 100%, but the store is open. He is still an Erlich Hayit. The minute the sign comes off, the minute he's not a Shomer Shabbos, then it's a fafal. The whole thing is fafal. So when a person has such a hasada about Shabbos, whether it's ingrained from the day that he was born, and that's all he's seen his entire life, or that his commitment to it has become so total, then it is no longer an Isayin ad kedei kach, that even an addiction cannot stand in the way, which is really absolutely remarkable. That's exactly what he's saying. There's an area where the battle does not have to be waged. And when you get up in the morning, as I said, you don't have to ask yourself, should I put on film? Now, it's remarkable, the same person, he has a half an hour. Some people will run to the Beis Medrash and they cannot conceive of any other alternative, and they think that everything else is so stupid and so wasteful that you have to be retarded, Pashut, to choose other than Torah. And for other people, it'll be a tremendous nisayon. Why? Not because they are not aware or conscious of the chashivas of Torah, but simply because for them, the Emes Hamadume, whatever that is, you know, reading the New York Times. So why should a person read the New York Times is agut dekasha. So the teretz is because you have to know what's going on in the world. So that would seem to me, dafka not to read the New York Times. But what's the pshat? What's going on in the world? It's what they want you to think is going on in the world. But more than anything else, you know the famous joke that two people are sitting in the subway and one sees that the other guy is reading the Arab press. So he says, what are you reading that for? He says, I read the Jewish papers, and I see that after Haftatzaris, the Hezbollah is like this and this one's like that. When I read their papers, the Jews are running all the banks, they own all the real estate, they're governing the world. I feel pushing good about it. But when you have a paper, it's a ganze kasha to that paper is, you know, if there's any MS in it at all. But let's say that you wanted to read it even for entertainment. A person wants to read the sports pages. Why are you reading the sports pages? Because Kind Vaisuf, you know, grew up in a modern environment, in a sports-oriented environment, and it's intriguing to him. He wants to know about these things. For such a person, they really ask him point blank, is Torah more important than reading the newspaper or not? I'm talking about a person who does not have the slightest havamina that there's any comparison whatsoever. He knows that Torah is Misinai, and he knows that Torah is the best Tzchaira, and he knows there's a mitzvah, and there's an Isra of Bikul Torah. He knows it all. Why is there an Isra? Because the Mochama of the Yetzer is still going on in that person at that battlefield. And it doesn't have to be so logical. It could be his logic dictates that this is Emes and this is Hevel, and Sheker. But nevertheless, whatever it is that's appealing to him, that makes him do it, creates a Mochama inside of him between an Emes Mamish and an Emes Hamedume, an imagined Emes. That's what he says. Then he says, this Nakuda explains what Chazal mean by mitzvah gereris mitzvah and aveira gereris aveira. Because the more a person does a mitzvah, the more he shores up that battlefront. It becomes his. And Memela is able to march forward to the next battlefield, which was at an earlier stage beyond his reach, which belonged legamri to the enemy. Now, there are many things that a person can't control. Not l'toiv and not l'ra, because he doesn't have any need to confront it at that moment. He's not ready to confront it, or he doesn't have a need to confront it. Because what I said about the tefillin in the morning applies equally to things that are negative. For example, a person can't control his tongue. Comes into the house and he says, you know what my boss is? He's a sheretz. He's a nothing. He's a piece of garbage. Why? Because he didn't give me a raise, or because he doesn't appreciate my work. So a person thinks for a moment that if you're talking to your wife, that's not Lashon Hara. That's like talking to the mirror. But the answer is that's not so. It's 100% Lashon Hara. And b'chaheinu b'chaheinu, whether a person is matir himself saying things, what do you mean I can't talk like that? I gotta get it off my chest. B'chulu b'chulu. Or I'm just talking to my wife. Or he is a sheretz. You know, whatever it is that a person is saying, bottom line, that it's definitely awesome. It's awesome. But at that point, he doesn't think it's usher, he doesn't know that it's usher, and he doesn't have a mechum. And v'chaheinu v'chaheinu. The battlefield in the negative has not been established because he's not yet there to have a mechum. So there's no issue of bechira for him about that. Aveira gareris aveira creates a retreat after retreat after retreat, so that the battlefield becomes in things that he didn't really have to fight about earlier, because it pulls him away. away from that point where he was before of strength. And mitzvah, Gereres mitzvah, pushes him forward where he's capable of creating a battle where before it would belong to the end. That's why you have many times that people who are Baruch Hashem, I'm not talking about people who became total Bali Tshuva, but people who are learning a little bit, all of a sudden they enjoy it and they have a pleasure in it and they have a satisfaction to it. A person came to me from the Agra de Pirka at the very outset. And he says, I didn't have a job. A young fellow. I didn't have a job. I have nothing to do in the morning except go look for jobs, and I can do that in the afternoon. And in any case, I can't find them anyhow, even when I look for them. So I have to bide my time. I was wasting my time. My wife looked at me like I was worthless. And it affected my shalom bayis. Now I came to the Agra de Pirka, and she looks at me with newfound appreciation and admiration. And she tells all her friends, you know, my husband's sitting and learning. This kind of head, a person comes to the evening, and he says, Avad, I'm going back to the Beis Medrash. Yesterday, before this, I have a mean of going at night to the Beis Medrash. At night, you relax. All of a sudden, what do you mean relax? There's no greater hanor than opening up the Gemara, opening up the Chumash with Rashi. Person decides one day that he's going to be Mavis Sedra, and he has an incentive because now he's up to Sefer Bamidbar, and he started from Brachos and it's Gishmiut. He's going to stop now? Of course not. All of a sudden, that's not an Yisoyah. And so on and so forth. So the Yisoyah of this Perek Beis at the beginning is that when we speak about Bechira, we do not mean that at every moment of every day, all the mitzvahs of the Torah and all the averis that the Torah talks about are up for grabs in the person's Muhammad with his Yetzirah and the Yetzirah that fights the Yetzirah. It's not so. It's only at a specific point. The rest of it, it's either completely in the bag, belonging to the Yetzer Tov, or it's such a Nisayon that it's beyond being a Nisayon. Because he assumes, at that moment at least, that he can't help himself. So there's no Muhammad, there's no fight. I am what I am. So people say, I am what I am. You want me to be somebody else? You want me to be the Tzaddik Ador? I am not. I am what I am. You're supposed to be the Tzaddik Ador? But there's no Muhammad going on about that at this moment. Where is the Muhammad? The Muhammad is, that's one, I had a Chavra once who was a very big Letz. Tremendous genius. Big Talmud Chacham. But he's a Letz. So he says, it's not the petty Yetzer Hara that interests, I mean the petty Lashon Hara that interests me. It's the fetish tickle Lashon Hara, the Geshmak Lashon Hara. That's for me in the Sayon. There's a certain kind of Nisayon in a person being, you understand, excited about doing somebody in. It's an excitement, it's a thrill to make somebody chara. So that sometimes is in the Nisayon. And there are other people that say exact opposite. The fetal Lashon Hara, chas v'shalom. But you know, I'm talking to my wife. So that's all a question of where the person is. But the Yisayon remains the same by everybody and in all circumstances, that some things are given to the right, some things are given to the left, and in the middle, at any point, what the middle is changes. But in the middle is the Muhammad, which we need Bechira. And what is Bechira? The understanding that the Emes HaMedumah is such a total sheker that it doesn't even exist. Now he says something else. There are certain things that a person gets from a chinuch from birth. And he says later that that's not something that you're entitled to take credit for as much as whoever was mechanech you. He gets the credit, or she gets the credit. So if a mother or father encourages a person to be a tremendous baal tzedakah, by example and by lesson, and the person feels, avada, you have to give. So ironically, there's no bechira issue over there. Masha'en came somebody who didn't have that chinuch. For him it may be a struggle. So then it's a bechira issue. So in a certain sense, whatever you already have from your childhood or whatever you got from your rebbe and becomes because of that a chelik of you is no longer subject to the milchama of bechira and therefore is really not so much to the credit of the person. You understand? So he says there are some people who the opposite. They had the misfortune of being nischanich by rishoyim, by gazlonim, by roitzchim, by stam miyasechevra. A person hears a whole day only Lashon Hara. A person learns how to finagle and to trick and to be treacherous in business. And so on and so forth. A person who sees a chinuch that's mezalzel in mitzvahs. Or people who have no interest in learning Torah whatsoever and consider other things more important than more valuable. Such a person, it's like mayase habein shelo yechta. I mean, that's all he saw. So that person also has no chinuch L'tayv, and the Mela, he does not have the Melchemes Hayetzer when he grows up, because all of the negatives are ingrained to him. There's no Melchama anymore. He accepts them. That's what he is, and that's what he assumes is the way of life. So he says, Sayin the positive and Sayin the negative, the punishment as well as the schar, each one, the Ra and the Toiv, the punishment as well as schar, who does it go to? It goes to the Machanech, not to the Mechunuch, because by the Mechunuch it becomes a chelik of his Mitzvahs. And that's what he says. Nimtza, she'ein ha'chinuch mishane klal be'etzem inyan ha'bechira, elarak es mokom nikudosa. So he says the same thing we said before about a person's own matzav, it's true in terms of what he got from the earlier generation or from his rebbeim, etc. The chinuch that he gets becomes no longer a battlefield, and the battlefield shifts to the area which is on the fringe, or where there was no chinuch one way or the other. So you have an Esav kind of person, Lamoshal, and you'll have a Yaakov kind of person. They both have in Yonei Bechira, but their battlefields are in a different place. And both of them have no problems, and therefore no Inyan of Bechira, in Yaakov Avinu's sense, L'toiv, and in Esav's sense, L'ra. Because by them it's not a battle, it's a given. It's a mitzias of who they are. So that's what he writes in the paragraph that begins on page 114, Me'ata, Kol Adam Yeshli Bechira B'mokom Nekudas Bechirosa. Avo Mokom HaNekuda Ruchon Hu Mikodem Im Al Yedei Bechirosov HaKoidmois Asher Hu Ba'atzmai Heshiv Al Yodam Es Nekudas Bechirosa L'maloi L'mata Ve'im Al Yedei Asibos Asher Nitnu Loi Min HaShamayim She'samu B'sviva She'nischanich B'mi Yalduso Terem Yeda Oy Toivara. So he says, a person is always at point X in the Bechira issue. He's at point X B'negeya, the Nekuda of his battlefield, based on where he was a moment ago. In other words, he doesn't choose the battlefield. Sometimes you have generals that sit there in the, you know, with the staff and in the map room or whatever it is, in headquarters, and they plot out, well, if we start a battle over there, this and this will be the consequence. So therefore, let's start a battle B'davka in the valley instead of on top of the mountain, or on top of the mountain instead of the valley, or in the east instead of the west, or by the sea instead of inland. By Bechira, it doesn't work like that. By Bechira, you don't choose your battlefield. The battlefield is where you are at that moment, in the total picture, where things have already been determined either by, he says, the chinuch that you got, which means that it was determined in a certain sense by others, hein l'toiv and hein not l'toiv, or by what battle you already fought, hein l'toiv, hein not l'toiv, did you win or did you lose? So in other words, if a person struggles in a certain inyan, he raises the stakes and he changes the battlefield. If he's successful, his battle now becomes on the next level of Madrega. If he's unsuccessful and he slips and falls back, then the battle becomes Dafka where he was before, confident, now suddenly he loses it, and now it's a slippery slope, and he has to worry about his matzah then, becomes a battle of Bechira. That's why, of course, the environment that a person is in is so critical, because the hashpa of the environment will determine whether the battlefield goes forward or the battlefield goes down. So a person is fluid in that sense, but the Bechira and the Nisayon issue is only at one point. Wherever he is on the sliding scale, it's only at that point that there's a Melchama. Everything else is a given one way or the other at that moment. Now, he doesn't mean to say that a person has no free will. It has nothing to do with it. He just means that when we struggle, we're not struggling with everything at all times. Hein l'toiv v'hein l'ra. So it's only the point of the struggle where we speak about Bechira. That's what he says. And then he has a very beautiful pshat in the pasuk that we mentioned in that Maaseh Shehoyah about that fellow with the chain link fence. The Ribbono Shel'Olam says the following: Hachayim v'hamoves nosati lufanecha. Ubacharto. This is the paragraph that says Hayotzim Dvareinu on the bottom of 114. Hachayim v'hamoves nosati lufanecha. He says, nosati here does not mean I gave you like I gave you a matana in the sense of I gave you, I transferred to you. He understands the word nosati in the same word gave as a given. In other words, you are at any particular place given your chayim and your mothers, as it were. And then in the middle, at that point, which is the battle royal, which is the Makom HaNisayon, he says, Ubacharta Machai. In other words, the Pasuk is talking about the total picture, the two different kinds of matzavim. The given matzavim, where for you there's a chayim matzav, that's a given. It's not a fight anymore. Shabbos, perfect. Kashrus, perfect. Limud HaTorah, not yet so perfect. So where's the makam that's given? Shabbos and Kashrus. Where's the nisaya? Where's the ubacharta suggestion or command? Where do you have to get involved to choose? In the limud HaTorah. And so on and so forth. So if a person is making the decision, it's called ubacharta b'chayim. If because of his chinuch or because of his previous commitments and battles that he's won or lost, what's that called? Nasati l'fanecha. So this is what he says. Pirush mizuk amidos hachinuch v'hasviva asher heim koivim es advarim hanikroim legabe didoch hayoyim hachayim amos. It's a tremendous chiddush, because anyone else that looks at this pasuk says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam says hachayim v'hamoves nasati l'fanecha, there is an absolute concept called chayim. There's an absolute concept called moves. Chayim are all the good things, moves are all the bad things. Chayim are the things that lead you l'chay olam haba, and moves leads you to perdition. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nasati l'fanecha, I'm offering you up the choice. You have to choose chayim. He's not learning the pasuk like that at all. Lahefech. He's teaching up that ubacharta b'chayim is different than nasati l'fanecha. As if the pasuk was saying his whole shtickle Torah. I gave you chayim and mavis. No. There's a given in your life at any moment, whether it's yesterday, today, or tomorrow, the principle remains the same. Wherever you are at that moment, you will have your given chayim and your given mavis. Ba'asher husham, in relation to yourself. It's your chayim and your mavis. It's your given l'toiv and it's your given l'ra. The person can't learn, he doesn't have comfort with learning, he doesn't want to learn, he likes to be mevatel toiv with shtusim and avolim. By him, that's mavis. He can't control himself right now. There's no fight. You can hack him and hack him and hack him. I have no time in learning. I have no time. I mean, what do you want from me? I have no time. I don't enjoy it. So what do you enjoy? I enjoy hanging around with the boys. That's what I enjoy. I enjoy playing ball. I enjoy reading the newspapers. I enjoy whatever it is else that I don't want to mention. He enjoys. So there's no mechama going on. So you can talk to the wall. But right now there's no mechama. What's that called? Nosati mothers. And then the person says, Shabbos? I would rather die than be Mechallel Shabbos in any way possible. And it's not a problem for me. I don't even smoke. I'm a smoke addict. I'm a cigarette addict. And I don't smoke. So what's that? Nosati l'fanecha chai. But then there's the place where somebody got to you, or the chinuch was on a balance. My rebbeim say I should really be learning. Maybe I should be learning. On the other hand, do I really like it? Maybe I would like it. That's ubacharta b'chayim. You understand? So that's how he learns the pasuk. It's an unbelievably different shot. And that's what he says. Hakol v'day shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim. He teaches that the chutz mi'ira shamayim means the moment of bechira, the moment of nisayon. That's chutz mi'ira shamayim. Then he says something else. The bechira, which I was meramis to earlier, the givens that happen because the battlefield was lost, or the battlefield was gained, then a person's responsibility is to have caused the battlefield to happen. Or, to put it a little bit differently, if I have a chinuch, I am coming from a matzav before I had the ability to figure out who I am and what I am, and to be able to make decisions b'chlal. So that matzav that I'm in determines still the point of the battlefield, correct? Because if I had a great chinuch, then there are so many givens already, l'toiv. If a person chas v'shalom had a terrible chinuch, there are so many givens l'ra. And at that moment, at least, neither one of them has nisyonis in those areas or is able to fight because there's no struggle by the Yetzer Tov because he's not interested. Or there's no struggle by the Yetzer Hara because I've had to give this, I'm keeping Shabbos. What's the shaila? Abel, he says, where you were at that moment is not your claim to fame, nor is it your fault. Because it's where your environment is, and that's not determined by you. I'm talking about the chinuch of childhood, not a person who's 50 years old. That where he is makes a very big difference, and that's his responsibility. I'm talking about the chinuch of a child. Until he's oymed al daitai, the matzav of the nesiyonis that he has at that moment when he is oymed al daitai is predetermined where that place will be on the sliding scale, and it's not up to him. However, when things are totally in a previous bechira, which he won or lost, then therefore there's a new battlefield. Sai up the scale because he conquered the Yetzirah a little more, or Sai down the scale because he succumbed to the Yetzirah a little more. Then the fact that he has a battle is his fault or his zuchus. You understand? And that's what he says. Afal pi she'eina oiver ka'es b'derech ha'bechira, sharei ha'avera keheter hu be'einov. No, do you see what he's saying is as follows. When a person is now struggling with something that yesterday was not a problem for him, he can't say, I have Nebuchadnezzar and leave it at that. Why is it not a problem for him yesterday? Because yesterday he was on solid ground and that thing was for him a davar pashut that it's also. So how come it suddenly has a problem? The Teretz is, he went from a matzav of nasati to a matzav of bacharta. Why? Why does he have to now choose a given? Because he was not oymed b'nisayon. So memela, the previous not being oymed b'nisayon, is now causing him this newfound problem, which yesterday was not a problem at all. So in other words, if the mashal l'mahadavadayna, let's say that there's an arsenal of weapons, very, very good, very good depot of weapons of all kinds. And at this moment, it is completely in the hands of Tzad Aleph of the Mochot. It's theirs, they deposited it there, they control it, and they have a source of weapons that could last them for 10 years. A source of ammunition and a source of weapons. But in the Mochama that took place yesterday, because this was the matzah for 10 years, but in the Mochama that took place yesterday, they were lazy, or they were lax, or they whatever it is, they didn't win. And Memela, they had to retreat. And guess what? The arsenal of weapons fell into enemy hands. So now they say, what can we do? We have no weapons. What's coming done? So now we have to fight without weapons. It's a tremendous struggle. It's 1,000 times harder now than it was yesterday. So the Teretz says, Eino Chanami. It's true. But whose fault is it? It's the fault of the general who lost the battle yesterday. It's not a nisayon that's had to be. If you would have been successful yesterday, you would have kept the arms and the ammunition, and you wouldn't be in the matzav of nisayon that you're in now. It's the same thing with Mechamas Hayetzer. If a person retains the strengths that he has, the battlefront always remains beyond that point. But if and anything below that is a given with life. But what happens if a person is lax and he slips and he slides down? All of a sudden, that what yesterday was bechlal not a struggle suddenly becomes a struggle. You find this, by the way, all the time. You find that Bachurim went to Eretz Yisrael and to learn, which is kamat everybody does today, and they really zakenumen in hentarein. They came back to America. It's not the same anymore. So if a person says, it's not the same anymore, and therefore I have to gird my loins. So yesterday I'm armed with all kinds of positives, learning zehirus and mitzvahs, abachlal hashkaf asylum, which means the kind of girl I want to marry, and what the inyani parnosa that I want to have. Everything has a certain worldview, a certain perspective. What happens when he begins to deteriorate once he's back in America? All of a sudden, all those givens are now suddenly nisyonos. Maybe it's too much. Maybe toif tayre in derech eretz. And the olam hazeh is part something. You can't make it tzagamish. And then on and on and on. And all of a sudden, the person who was a masmid is now struggling with the inyan of learning altogether. What happened? The Teretz says, those givens are no longer givens. Why not? Because by losing the battle, he retreats, and the matzav suddenly becomes a nisayon, which yesterday was not a nisayon at all. So when a person falls, if it's something that is a nisayon because of a bad chinuch, it's not his fault. But if it became a nisayon because of his own failings, that is his fault. As a teich Rav Dessler. Dessler was, of course, an enikel of Rav Yisrael Salanter. No, he's saying that it's not his fault. But not only is it not his fault, what he's saying is that the fact that he has that moment of bechira, which other people don't have, what do you mean by a moment of bechira? Where the struggle is, why doesn't another person have that struggle? There it is, because the other person had such a good chinuch that those things are given to him and he doesn't have to think about it anymore. It's part of who he is, l'tayma. Since this person had a bad chinuch, so then that consequence is that the things that he's now struggling with, the very fact that he's struggling with klal is a plus. But most of the things that are negative are by him already a given, and his struggling area is on a much lower level of commitment. It's already in his sayyid. You understand? If there are certain people that would starve if it's not Chol of Yisrael. I'm not saying that the halacha says you should starve, but I'm saying that certain people, it's not even conceivable to them to drink something that's not Chol of Yisrael. And other people that were brought up that Chol of Stam is not a problem. I'm not talking about whether it is a problem or isn't a problem. It's probably a serious problem. It's not so partial that they miss us and they're afraid of the government and whatever. But the bottom line is, I'm not discussing halacha right now, or minhag even. I'm just painting a picture. For the person that ate non-chol of Yisrael chocolate bars all his life, it might actually be a shtickle nisayon if he's in a place and he sees a chocolate bar and he's a little hungry or he enjoys chocolate or whatever it is. By him it's a shtickle nisayon. Yeah, but it's not chol of Yisrael, so should I take it? Should I not take it? Another person, it's inconceivable. It's like it's treif. So where does that come from? Now, what happens if a person was hacked a whole day and a whole night? This whole Chol of Yisrael business is baloney, and they're just making one chumrah after the other, and you know, every time some rav comes up with the chumrah of the day, or chumrah of the week, or chumrah of the month, and it's a very nasty attitude that he's painting a picture that's mezalzel in minhagim, it's mezalzel in chachomim. That kind of a person grows up with such a chinuch. It's very hard for him because he has this tremendous nisayon of emunas chachomim, the tremendous nisayon of zehirus in minhagim. It's not his fault. But his battle becomes a lower level issue of bechira, which the person who had the good chinuch doesn't even think about. There's not even a struggle. So that's what he said. Now he says something else which is unbelievable. He says, if a person is in the battle, he has to know that how he comes out of that battle is not a matter of a fleeting moment. Because wherever the battle is, what he does, the choice that he makes, L'toiv and L'ra, have consequences for him forever and for his environment perhaps forever. And in a certain sense, any moment of decision making could have a hashpah on the entire world. He doesn't give this example, but I'll give you a very simple example. Person's read a shidduch. He goes out with a girl. She has alam milus for a yirei shamayim. She's a balas chesed. She's highly intelligent. She's very frum, but she's very normal. But she has a chesar. She's not beautiful. She's not a mechularis. I think they said, the stipler or somebody asked him, you know, some such a thing. So he says, is she a mechularis be yoisa? All right, a mechularis be yoisa dish. You're playing a plain girl. Comes home, and he starts thinking, it's true, she has a lot of pluses, but I can do better. I think I deserve a beautiful girl. And the Nachab Sashtikul Talmud Chacham says, the Gemara itself says, B'nais Yisrael, Yaitzis V'chagos V'kramen, Yifaytfiyo Shebehem Ayin Aymres, Ain Inshallah Liyayfi. Do you see? So, parents beg him, and for Nachoshev and Mishpacha, and Yuchasik and Mishpacha, they go back to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. Everybody goes back to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. So, but he says, I can't do it. I want a beautiful girl. Okay, so they find for him a beautiful girl. So find a maidel. Nothing compared to the other one. In all the fundamentals, in terms of mishpacha, in terms of achrayus, in terms of commitment to Torah. It's a nandel zachen ganzen. So he says to himself, she's very pretty and she's from, she's a religious girl. She's a nice girl. So I ask you, is this not going to be a decision that affects doyres? But that's obvious, because marriage and build a bias be Israel. Of course it's going to affect doyres. But it's not just that. A person decides where to send his children to school. So the wife says to the husband, or the husband says to the wife, listen, Torah is very important, but he has to have an education. What do you mean? He's not going to know how to read and write like a man. She's not going to have an opportunity to go to college. He's going to be a parasite for the rest of his life. I mean, we'll have to support him forever. Is this school over there, it's Tzogot and Tzolait. He says, yeah, but there's not one Ben Torah that came out of the place. They just don't give them that feeling. Some of them. So she says, well, what about Yankel? What about Shmuel? So the husband says, that's because when they went to Eretz Yisrael, they sort of became Bali Tshuva. But it didn't happen because of the chinuch in the school. She says, yeah, but the bottom line is they became that way. And there's a lot of them like that. So ours will also be like that. So the husband says to the wife, let me ask you something. There's a stock. I'm asking to you. Now I want to talk about something else. There's a stock that... my broker says there's a shmua, there's some sort of an idea that, and he's had some successes lately, this broker, that this stock's going to triple. She says to him, oh, you're at it again? Let me ask you something. That company has assets? Not really. They're just a startup, you know, they're like an internet startup. They have no assets. They have any competition? Yeah, there's like 12 companies that are starting up in the same field. So see, she paints him a picture, and then she says, you have to be an idiot to want to do something like that. So he says to her, why aren't you an idiot that you're sending to a school that's not going to be mechanic for Torah? What Havah means is that you're going to Eretz Yisrael. That is a decision that will affect the person for the rest of his life. And gambling with a neshama of a child is not a mahalach. I have to tell you a ma'isa shahaya, because since that time, I have a hole in my heart from it, even though it has nothing to do with me or my family. But I mamish the agmas nefesh that I had at that time remained a hole in my heart. What was the ma'isa shahaya? There was a very chashuv yid who gave a shtikl daf yomi even. And that's how I knew him, more or less. We lived in the same neighborhood. But that's how I knew him, because I used to substitute. I was a little kid. I was mamish, I don't know, whatever. But I used to substitute to say the daf yomi when that person couldn't come, or his, you know, there were three of us. But I gave it the least amount. But from time to time, and that's how I got to know him. He had a ben yochid, no other children. He had one son. This son, he looked like an angel. He was a tzaddik yisagalim, a little boy. He was brilliant beyond imagination. Mamish alam ailus. And I thought to myself, this boy is going to balech l'dot. Anyhow, he was 15, 16, 17. Terrific. Mamish terrific. A gewaldig yingel. His father says to me one day, Baruch Hashem, he just got into University of Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania? What's he going to university? What, are you crazy? I mean, I was much young. I was a kid. And he was already a parent. I mean, he was a parent of somebody that was older than me. It was such an agmas nefesh for me that I decided to talk to him. I remember we walked on Broadway between 96th Street and 86th Street, Ahin and Sarik, for about 4 hours. And I'm screaming and yelling and eating my kishkes out. Says Gornish Vert. He went to the University of Pennsylvania. He became fry in 2 years and maybe married a shiksa for all I know. And this is the parent who for 4 hours said, you're still a child, you don't know. He's 100% and I'm 100%. It'll never happen in a million years. So now he asks me a question. So who's Achroi? Avada, he's not Achroi. Because even though he was already a Muvugar to some extent, the parents made the decision and he followed. And the rest of it is a Nisayan that some people just couldn't be aimed by. It's an Eir volume. A child in the hands of a parent is the Achrayus of all Achrayus. And we treat it with a very cavalier attitude. Everybody knows that most parents do not know the names of the Rebbeim that the children have at that moment. And everybody knows that even though they'll talk with doctors and they'll talk with this one, that one, or whatever it is, but to talk to a Rebbe, Mechatai, he's in yeshiva, he's doing all right, he comes home, he does homework. So it's a very cavalier attitude towards these things. But the Untash Teshura is, this is what he says. He says, the chinuch is a machriya. You're not at fault one way or the other. You don't have the zuchus. You can't claim the credit. person was born in a beautiful environment and everything is perfect and the parents hover over him and they tend to him like a beautiful garden, and he comes out of Klima 4, he can't take credit for it. Dealing with the wrong friends, and he was Eisen. And he said, Apo Pikain, I'm keeping to the straight and narrow. That chaluk of it is his time.
It's already.
So let me tell you something.
Spoken for you. What can you do? You have no choice but to make
it. Let me tell you something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik, you're asking me a very good question. Let's stick to that question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivugim. So I have to tell you that I am such a believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivugim that a corollary to my belief is that you don't have to do the slightest ishtadlis whatsoever in Shidduch. And this is something that I sell. Most of the time, I have very few balonim, very few customers. People hear something like that. I'm not sure what goes on in their minds. I think in their minds they say the Rav is a little crazy. But they don't want to say that to me. You know, they're polite. So they say, well, you know, I can't handle something like that. And of course, they do ishtadlis, and sometimes ishtadlis beyond belief. I mean, crazy ishtadlis. But that's what I believe. So you'll ask me if that's the case, the kasha doch much stronger. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezavik zivugim to such an extent. Because I also believe that you can give up your zivug. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezavik zivugim, you know, the pasuk says, Re'ein asat l'funecha, not his pshat, the regular pshat. Asat l'funecha yom esachayim esatoy besavod esasara. Every shidduch is a choice. When a person says Areyat Mekudeshes Libetaba Azu, everybody learns Maseches Kedushin knows that Yisoid HaYisoidus in Kedushin is Das. It's a very, very big Yisoid. And Das means free will, and Das means my decision. My decision to marry her. But my decision to marry her, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts the package in front of your door. There's a famous Maisa, not the same, but I'm just giving it as a Moshel Ba'alma. Reb Zalman of Alojiner was once asked, it says in the pasuk that we say in Avodah Tzion Goyel, Lo yamushu mipichom pizarachom pizera zarachom me'atov yad oilom. Rozok the Gemara on that. That mikan ve'elach, if the Torah is three Torahs, Torah mechazeres alach san yeshalom. The Torah keeps coming back to that hotel. In other words, the mishpacha is guaranteed, that's what we assume, the mishpacha is guaranteed a shakas to Torah forever. So somebody asked Rav Zalmala when he was a little boy, a poet, 6 years old, 7 years old, I don't know. They asked him, oh, but you see families that there's Torah for several generations, and then the Torah disappears? So what's the pshat? So he says, it says Torah machzeres alechsanya. Somebody knocks on the door of the hotel and nobody answers. What does she do? She goes to the next hotel. The person has the shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in certain inyonim, and he can mess that shefa up in a minute. And if a person has a zivuk that comes to his door. So in the example that I gave you, there's a shidduch that was proposed, and the person says she has to be prettier than this girl. Me'echa taisa. Me'echa taisa. Maybe you don't have to take it so seriously. Maybe your taiva, your yetzer hara, or whatever it is that's going on in your head is a chesara, not a maiwa. And if he says, I'm not going out with her anymore for this reason, how do you know that he has not just said to his zivug, goodbye, good luck? So do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps giving you the best zivugim one after the other and you can reject it left and right? That's a crazy idea. It's mamish an insanity. I mean, what, he's my provider, my purveyor of shidduchim? I told him, Ribbono Shel Olam,
it's too much being kept secret.
That's not this one. It's not this one. Why not? You know, I had a Zayde Rav Spiegel, Zechon Levracha, the Ost of Kalashina Rebbe, my Rebbetzin Zayde. So he was like a chosid, you know, he was a chosid, and so every opportunity, I mean, a certain kind of chosid. So he's very sharp, very smart, very sharp. But a certain kind of chosid, every opportunity he had, he liked to knock misnagdim. So, you know, they're misnagdim like that in the opposite also, you know. But it was all meant, you know, tongue in cheek, the Lutvak, yeah. Yeah, the Lutvak. So he said that there are two approaches to Shidduchim. There's the Hasidish approach and there's the Lutvak. The Hasidim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Toiv and a Meitiv, and that Avada Gevis, the very, very best Shidduch, he's going to give you right at the beginning. So they look at the Shidduch, says good, clinch it, Nefod Vaita. And then Baruch Hashem, next year is already a baby. The Lutvak says, I don't know, maybe I can do better. But since the Ribbono Shel Olam is in fact a Toiv Meitiv, He really does give you the best first. So every time he says, I can do better, he's falling down in the rating scale that's up there in Shamayim of how good she really is. So in the final analysis, he says, okay, this is what I want, which is one half of what he could have gotten. That was what the Zayda used to say. I'm not saying exactly that right now. What I'm saying is that a person can definitely deny the Zivug because he has that Bechira. There's no such thing as HaKadosh Baruch Hu twisting my arm in many, many other things as well, but certainly not in Shidduchim. And we don't know. So that's where Bitachon comes in, and that's what it is. That's what I'm suggesting that it is. There's no point in making Gestadlis, because I understand the mechanisms and the plans of the Eibishter enough that I should know where to stop and how to figure it out. There's no way of knowing. I'll tell you something else. Even what turns out to be not a good Shidduch for a person could very well be Bina Shamayim. Mecha Taisa that it's not. A person sometimes needs to be in a Matzav of Nisayim. When Rav has a wife that changes the soup, why in the world should somebody want to change her husband's soup? He asks for lentils and she gives him peas. What's the chat in that? I don't even chap what the hanoi is in that. Just to make a person nutty, miserable. In a famous Gemara Maseches Yevamos. So the Tzarchia, his son, one day decided on a smart move. He's going to fix the whole thing and create shalom bites. So when the mother, he says, I'd like to have Bechlal, I don't understand. Rav is into soup. He wants that pea soup tonight. The whole thing is, it's like there must be some Inyoni Kabbalah going on here that we don't know. But whatever it is, it's a very unusual Gemara to understand on the surface. But Rav asks for pea soup. So he knows that if he conveys to his mother that he wants pea soup, he's going to get he's going to get chicken soup. So he decides he'll be smart. He's going to ask her for chicken soup. Then she'll make the pea soup that he asked for and give it to her. Rav sees that suddenly he's getting exactly what he wants. He says, Baruch Hashem, your mother has changed in her old age, so to speak. You know, she's calmed down. So Chia decided to reveal the truth. He says, I know who the Afkas. I'm the one who switched it around. So first Rav gives him a big compliment that you're smarter, the children are smarter than the parents, because I could have done that myself, and I never have. But he says, don't ever do it again. Because, and quotes the pasuk, "Limdu l'shanim da b'sheker ha'avei nilu." Everybody asks, why didn't he quote the famous pasuk of "Mivasheker tichad," which is a pasuk in the Torah? "Limdu l'shanim da b'sheker." They train their tongue to speak sheker. So the answer that they give is, "Mivasheker tichad" is in cases where the lie is damaging or the lie is inappropriate. So even a lie, one lie, is wrong. Other people say because Midrash Sheker Tichuk has to do only with Dayanim and it doesn't apply to others. But even if it applies to everybody, Midrash Sheker means the thing is a chefs of Sheker that's no good. But here it's for a good purpose. Mishanim Mipnei Da'ke Sholem. He says, but the problem is once is not enough. You have to keep saying the same thing over and over again. Then you become a shakran. That's Lindu Vishayinam Da'ke Sheker. They train their tongues. So what I'm saying is that, a person he never knows what the Eibishter has in store for him with a Clarkite. It's not Shayach. Somebody said, I was there Me'achayre HaParagot. We can't say we were Me'achayre HaParagot. We don't have that inner sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thinking is. So we go with the straight and narrow when we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mesavik Zivugim does not mean that I cannot mess up the Zivug. And if I mess up the Zivug, it may never happen again. So therefore, what a person chooses is not a stira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesavik Zivugim as an opportunity or a suggestion. It's never that it has to be that by hook or by crook, you're going to end up marrying this girl. Because there's a Bechira deciding this Das and Kiddusha. And even when a person ends up marrying somebody, it turns out that the Shidduch is a Pitter and Maisa. So you can say, well, that certainly didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a type I made it, right? Not necessarily, because that might be the type. For whatever reason. I mean, you could all conjure up 10 different reasons. Some people need to have nisyanus. Some people steig from their nisyanus. Sheva yipul tzadik v'kam, as we said in the past. And one never knows exactly why Rav had such a wife. One never knows what's going on over there. But the fact of the matter is that there are all kinds of matzavim. It doesn't have to do with our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivugim. I have to